Hello, this is Stephen Childs, The Way of Fairness. There was another massacre at the school in Texas, west of San Antonio, 80 miles west, I think they said. I want to talk about the cause of the event. You know, this, all of my perception I'm looking at through whether something's fair or unfair to solve all our problems, and then we talk about it, what is not unfair to us, and by grouping together, we have power to stop those that are unfair from being unfair through our unity, and, so basically, that's what we've been doing all along, to some degree. So why is there some things that we don't seem to be able to require fairness from? Well, it's pretty scary. You know, it's that we are confronting or approaching people that are evil at the root of it. So it's like a network of human mentality that it's like a gang. It's like we're fighting against a gang that wants us to leave it alone and to not say anything, and it wants to be able to do whatever it wants. So that is at the root of us stopping all unfairness. If we're going to stop all the unfairness, we have to be able to stop that unfairness. So if you corner someone and they don't have any way to escape or any way to get out of the problem, they're going to fight you like they're not going to stop. They're going to fight you till they're dead. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to corner people. We don't want to, like, point fingers at anybody specifically. What I've found to be true and agreeable to people is that we don't even talk about what it is they did. We don't care what they did. We just let them know that if they'll join us in being fair to everyone and caring about everyone, then we don't care what they did in the past, and they're totally forgiven, and they're welcomed and honored for joining with us that have agreed to be fair to everyone and to care about everyone. Okay, so now let's talk about the massacre at the school. The boy apparently had been bullied. I gotta get away from this noisy road. I'm gonna put it on pause and then turn it back on in a minute. So the young man, 18 years old, had been bullied, teased, taunted. He had a lisp, speech impediment, and he was having issues of self-acceptance, I suppose. And I guess his mother was about to be evicted for drug use. So there's a pattern there of people not being treated fairly at the root of all of it. And when we're young and in school, that age, we can be really mean to the other kids. And I remember being cruel to some degree to others and feeling bad about it. And so we can make the choice to not be that way and to care about other people and to be fair to the other people. And when we do make that choice, we instantly feel better about ourselves and about everything else. This 18-year-old male that just bought a rifle right after his birthday, he obviously couldn't get any help to stop the outside. He's perceiving the outside world as never going to help him. There's never going to be any help out there from anyone to stop the abuse that he's suffering from. And we need to change that. We need to all understand the severity of people being unfair to others and not caring about the other kinds of people. There's like a division of male and female. So some of the males don't care about the females because they're females, so they don't count. That kind of thing. And then you find that I'll talk about tribal differences in a minute, different skin colors, that we don't care about the other skin colors, only our kind. The females, because of this male controlling power over them, and they don't count, they're supposed to be dominated by this male mentality that I'm describing. I don't have it. I threw it away. I don't want it. It's not true and it's harmful. So, say a woman gets raped, and if she's going to go to court about the rape, she's going to get abused worse than the rape itself, almost, or maybe as much. You get my point. There should not be any abuse from the court system for trying to get justice from people that are unfair. So it's because they don't have anywhere to get help on this issue. If you look at what's happened with Kavanaugh, accusations of him being unfair to women, it didn't even stop him from being the Supreme Court justice. Also, there's Anita Hill accusing, is it Jackson? I can't think of his name. He's the husband of a white, Jenny is her name, and she's a white supremacist advocate supporting the replacement theory mentality. So all of that is from unfairness in how we're thinking. So all the other kinds of people, whether they're gay, lesbian, whatever skin color they are what they are. And if we have anything other than we care about you and we will be fair to you, if we have any other attitude toward other people, then we're in the wrong as humans. And the reason we're in the wrong is because of the consequence. This is not about moralizing so much as look what it's doing to ourselves, our families. We have a war going on in Ukraine. Russia thinks they should have some of their land, or all of it. That's not fair. So what did Ukraine do that was unfair? What did Russia do that was unfair? What started the whole thing in the first place? Well, if you go back to the first conflicts in that area, it's like ancient history. Scythians and Mongols in a conflict. Same thing was going on there. The other people are different than we are, so we don't care about them, and we can be unfair to them because they're different. So that has to change. It's not okay for us to be unfair to the other kind of people. And that's what has been going on with the humans as far back as humans existed. There's been this idea that the other tribe, we can be unfair to them. We can take their stuff because it's a genetic thing. You see what I'm saying? It's an aspect of biological evolution that we have this propensity, this way of thinking that our team should win the other team. And there's like a winner-take-all mentality. And we have had numerous incidences of genocide where the other people are being exterminated totally from some other tribe. There are other examples of human behavior where the different tribes have some kind of a larger agreement, so they have like rules that they don't go too far with their conflict. A lot of people think that there is an individual that has all power, all knowing, in all places, and this all-powerful God is going to resolve all of this, and only the all-powerful God can resolve all of this. And they think that whatever happens is this individual's will. Like what this all-knowing, all-powerful individual wants is what happens. So recently we have telescopes and microscopes, and we put two and two together, and we've seen with our own eyes and ears through our technology that the Creator is an expansion of energy that was extremely hot because it was all in one place. Before that, it makes no sense that there was even anything. So it's like we found the point of creation. And then, well, there's no all-knowing, all-powerful Creator to be seen. It's all-powerful, absolutely, because it's all that is. It has all the power there is. There isn't anything else. Does it have any knowledge of anything? Absolutely not. There's no brain there. There's no mind there. Until later, through biological evolution, minds emerged. And we can see how that takes place. So in the past, it was a big mystery of how did we get here? Who are we and how did we get here? And so it seemed logical that there was an all-powerful, all-knowing individual that we call God. That seemed logical. How else would we be here? See what I mean? Well, we found how else. And it's with our telescopes and our microscopes and our scientific process of figuring things out that we realize now there's no need of that individual to even exist for us to be here. So, this all-powerful expansion, it's still all-powerful, but now mind has emerged from it. So it has become conscious and aware because we are conscious and aware. So we're its consciousness. And it still has all power. It's the process of nature, earthquakes, tornadoes, asteroids that could annihilate planet Earth, solar flares that could knock out all of our computers and cause famine. It still has all power. It always will. So this, what I'm describing, is the one truth of everything. And it was true in the beginning, it's true now, and it'll be true forever. And that's actually scriptural from the Sikh religion, what I just said. So they have a teaching that they call it Ek, it's oneness. Everything is oneness. And see, they can embrace evolution and cosmology, and they're not out of step with their scriptural teaching. But there's also in their teaching, like, there's this individual mentality. So you can see that we're in the process of not needing the individual God of all power and all knowledge any longer. We've grown past that to know the actual truth of the oneness of everything. Everything is quantum entangled. Our consciousness is therefore quantumly entangled with the entire cosmos. So there's science about this very thing. Dean Radin, who's doing research on paranormal abilities, telepathy, being able to affect random chance by intention with mind, and it turns out there's good evidence that we can. Now that's an interesting line of research to try to speculate what the cause of that is. There was a movie when I was younger called 2001, A Space Odyssey. See, this was in the 70s when I think it was still in the 70s, yeah. I hadn't graduated from high school yet in 75. So 2001, you had to read the book to understand the movie. There was a short book they wrote just for that reason, so that people could understand what the movie's about. So I think it was kind of jointly created as a movie book. The book explained the movie, and Arthur C. Clarke wrote the book, had the idea that there's probably been other people think of the same idea. There's this advanced, powerful, knowledgeable species from another star that visited here and left some machinery. So it's more like AI, machine learning. They left the device here and it's giving the sentient being, life forms on Earth dreams. So it's communicating with us in our dreams. Now, that's the fictional story. I think it's irrelevant whether it's AI or whether it's biological. It's probably a combination. And I think it's real. And they tell me that our minds come up with the dreams we have at night. I don't buy it. I think Arthur C. Clarke was on to something. So, if that's the case, we have godlike sentient beings that are here with us now. And that explains our devotion to gods and so forth. And not all of the beliefs was about some specific individual that's all-knowing. The older religions, just like the Native American people, they call it the Creator. And I don't know if they would insist that it had mind in the first place or if it matters. See, there's a fact, there's a factual basis to this. There's an objective, absolute truth to what I'm talking about. And we don't determine what the truth is. It's already here before we happen. And it has all power, and we're not going to change it, and it's not ever going to change. So we have to surrender to accept whatever it is. We have to surrender to what is more powerful than us. And the truth, the actual truth, is more powerful than we are. And it is what we are. So this here again, this is taught in the Sikh religion. The truth is what our real identity is. So this oneness of everything is really what we are. So it's that this oneness, this actual God idea, that is doing all of this, what's going on. And we have this sense of being an individual, but actually there's no separation of anything. It's all oneness. It's one thing. And of course, thing is probably the wrong word, but it's one thing. So the reason I wanted to spend so much time talking about what the actual God is, if you don't even have to call it God. You can just call it the truth, or the all-powerful all is what I've been calling it. And that's what I serve. So when I'm serving the all-powerful all, I'm serving all the people. So because we can change our beliefs of our established religions that tell us to kill the other people that are different than us and overpower them, because they aren't the people that God talked to. And then the other religion says the same thing. So obviously they can't all be true. So anyway, what is the real truth? That's what I'm trying to explain, so that you get an idea of what the real truth really is. And I have an idea of what the real truth really is, and it was taught to me also. So they have an idea that there's a teacher here that you can connect to. And that's what people are praying to, is this teacher that can connect with your heart and your mind, and you have an understanding directly from some teacher. Who's the teacher? I think it's the ETs that are giving us the dreams. They can give us precognitive dreams. And here again, you can check on the work of Dean Radin and various others that have documented. There's no question that people have precognition. I have it. I have dreams. I had some incredible dreams last night about things changing. Three items changes into four items. Whoa. So I got up, and there's three dimes on top of my chest of drawers. And I thought, that's interesting. There's three items right there. And I go downstairs, and on one of the chairs, there's one more dime. It was three dimes, and there was one more dime on the chair. And I'm thinking, that's interesting synchronicity. So all of this is arranged by this oneness. It is the arrangement. The oneness is the arrangement. And you can become aware of it and see it. And when you start seeing the oneness of things, you're on this path of things are arranged, and it changes the world. Like there was only three items, now there's four. So the physical world actually changes. What's changing it? These powerful ETs can change our world. They have the technology. They probably just move things around. Like they can move a $20 bill out of my wallet and give it to somebody else as a gift, because that's what it wants to do. And I have no idea where my $20 bill went. So this is really some exciting, wonderful stuff to find out about. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of what I was talking about, and how where we're at now, we have all this hatred, and people are abusing us, and people are unfair to us, and we were treated unfairly since the time we were born. And there was nobody to stop it from happening to us. And we as humans can change that. So let's change that so that we care about all the people. We don't care what they look like, what color their skin is, whether they're gay or not gay. We care about everybody. And everybody agrees to be fair to everyone. So they're going to be fair to us. They're going to care about us. And we're going to be fair to them, and we're going to care about them. So now, if we do this, if somebody has been treated unfairly by some force of evil, that when they try to tell us about it, and it's so powerful that it's affecting all the other people, and nobody will even approach the topic because the force of evil is stopping any progress in it being found out. So somebody's trying to hide something horrible that they did, and they might still be doing something horrible. Well, war is horrible. Rape is horrible. Theft is horrible, etc. So there's some basic things that we all agree are unfair. Because if it happened to you, you would know it's unfair. There would be no question in your mind. There would be no argument. So the only way we're going to stop this power of evil, this extreme unfairness that stops people from doing anything about this, and that's still stopping us from doing anything about it, it lives in religion, it lives in governments, it lives in our family, it lives in our own mind. And you can change it in your own mind just as soon as you have a desire to care about the other person and be fair to the other person and surrender to whatever the actual truth is and serve it. Then you've just defeated the evil in your own mind, and when we all do that, we'll defeat all the evil in the world, all the unfairness will stop, and we're not going to gang up on them and harm them. We're going to convince them to stop being unfair with their thinking. And nothing's going to be said. It's going to be a secret, so that they're not cornered. So that the people that are doing harmful things, they're not cornered. And they're not going to try to get more evil and more evil power to protect themselves. See, this is what happened in Mexico, the narco-Satanists. They got this idea that they could torture someone to death, and this guy's spirit would have no will of its own anymore, and it would serve the person that tortured and killed. And that's what they did, and they were able to sell drugs without getting caught. Policemen couldn't find them. They didn't have any idea what they were doing. They'd be confronted by this force of evil, you get confused, you can't even think straight, and it's trying to get you to give up. It's trying to get you to surrender to it rather than to the actual truth and to the idea of caring about other people and not allowing any unfairness to happen to anyone, including the people that picked this wrong path. It was unfairness that happened to them that caused them to go on the path of evil. So, it's the same power of evil that is working with a child who has taken the proverbial cookie from the cookie jar and doesn't want to be found out about it. And his deception and his twisting of the truth is the same force of evil that's protecting the person that tortured a human being to death to gain power. It's the same force of evil. It's the very same thing. It's just at a lesser degree. So, when the person who did the theft is punished in a harmful way, it escalates. They become more evil. They want to get away with stealing cookies every chance they get because it wasn't fair what happened to them. So, by having it okay, it's okay that we're human and we tried getting away with being unfair and it's not acceptable, but you're not excluded from being human at that point. So the people that have done really monstrous things, serial killers and so forth, they are being researched by psychologists, and they find the same pattern. The same problem of authoritarian alliance that turns on other groups that look different. That's the same pattern everywhere. It happened with all of the tyrannical, all-powerful in their area dictators. It's the same pattern. So we understand what this is about, and we can stop it. Thanks for listening.